Hello, Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Anthos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. This is Wednesday, the 9th of May, 2007. Father Christopher Hunter will join me at 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time, to talk about all kinds of things, including a new DVD that he has produced with Michael Hoffman, who is someone known to many people who listen to RBN. And I'm hopeful that through Father Hunter today, I might later get Michael Hoffman on the show as well to talk about his own situation in regard to what Michael produces at The Revisionist and some of the things that he tends to cover in regard to global political issues. We've been talking with Jeff here in the last few minutes about all kinds of things up in Vermont. And Jeff, you were just talking about some of this whole business with homosexual culture as you have come to observe it in recent years up there. Go ahead.
Well, yes, you probably know that we were the first state in the union to pass a civil unions bill that the government got involved in marriage, you know, a long time ago. So when you get a license, you get permission to get married from the government, even with a boy and a girl. But now they said we'll call it civil unions, and a male can get married, and a female can get married. And it's getting so bad up here, Mark, that when a child is born in this state, a doctor is not required to put on the birth certificate a male or a female because they want to be gender friendly. You know, they don't want an employer to even know that it's a male or female, because one day the employee can come in as a male, and the next day come in as a female, and the employer can't do anything about it anymore. And he can't fire the person for acting like this or do anything that would jeopardize his employment based upon his gender and the way he dresses. And with the bullying in the school, I mean, of all people to go and speak about bullying, the school boards in the state decided that we're going to go to a group called Outreach Vermont, which is a transsexual, transgender, homosexual kind of organization, to talk about bullying. And, you know, I call up, a lot of people call them and says, why don't you get, like, a police officer to talk about bullying? Why don't you get somebody, like, somebody of the robes or a priest or a pastor or something to talk about bullying? Why do you always go to Outreach Vermont and all these homosexual, transgender kind of operations to teach our children about bullying? You know, I mean, it makes sense when you realize, you know, what's going on here. But to the average person, you know, when I first started looking into something, like, what's going on here? I mean, why is it happening like this?
Yeah, it's I think the biblical explanation, of course, for what is going on in a society like this one is found in the first chapter of the book of Romans, where the Apostle Paul puts the correct spin on it from 2,000 years ago. But I think in addition to that, Jeff, if I had to say, it seems to me that my old friend Harold O.J. Brown from Harvard, who was my academic advisor at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Chicago, once referred to this phenomenon of homosexuality and lesbianism and so forth as the final stage of decay in a dying society in regard to the various stages that a dying society goes through. And it seems to me that that's the part of the issue that's involved here. But I also think you're touching upon something else that dovetails very nicely with this whole concept of globalism, because if you have a movement that breaks down traditional families, that breaks down traditional morality as that used to be defined, not simply in terms of Christianity more narrowly, but natural law more broadly, you then have a situation where as we look to some entity to tell us what to believe and what to guide us with, that folks inevitably turn to the central state. Morality and guidance and cultural assumptions are simply whatever the globalist masters tell us that they are. That maybe is the ultimate reason behind the support of this movement that you refer to. We'll be back. Hang on, Jeff. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
We're back. This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Father Christopher Hunter will join me at 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time, to talk about all kinds of issues, historical, political, and theological. And as I've mentioned before, I'd like to talk to Father Hunter about this DVD that he has come out with in conjunction with Michael Hoffman. I really want to learn more about it in regard to what's in it and what kinds of subjects they discuss. And I'm also hopeful that Michael Hoffman himself will come on this show at some point. We've been trying to get this thing hammered out here for a number of days now, back and forth with some email. I think he will be a very, very fine guest for us, too, at Mark Dankost America, when we can arrange for that to happen. We've been chatting with Jeff this morning from Vermont. Jeff, we were talking about this this whole business of the homosexual movement as it seems to relate to this larger issue of both cultural degeneracy and a cultural degeneracy that is specifically managed and is specifically manipulated and developed and targeted, I think, by the globalist agenda and by those who are behind that globalist agenda. You know, I remember reading a book some months ago by a very fine person who's been on the show, Dr. James Cantrell. He's authored How Celtic Culture Has Invented Southern Literature. Dr. Cantrell goes a long way towards showing how the global elites basically want to break down not only families, but individual communities where you have mores and histories and cultural attitudes and ideas that don't fit the globalist mold and the globalist agenda. That has to be destroyed in order for these people to engage in what is a complete takeover. And I would suspect that sexual perversion and drugs would be two methodologies that would be very effective in breaking people's thought patterns down, their ability to think things through and to rationalize things through on a moral basis. And they become so self-absorbed and so narcissistic and so decadent that they lose all sense of what's happening around them. That would be my guess as to what you're describing up there.
You're exactly right. And if you think about the premise that they use to pass these laws, it's nonsense. We're trying to protect transgender people. I've never read anything in the newspaper ever that anybody's been prejudiced or anybody's been ridiculed for being a transsexual or transgender. I've never read about it. And it's not in the paper. So what are they trying to – why are they wasting time trying to pass something like this? And when it's a non-issue. It's really a non-issue. And I think people are – most people are like, well, if you want to live that lifestyle, you know, just stay away from me. I'm not in the business of controlling you. The Bible tells me that it is wrong. And but there's nothing I can do about it. You'll be judged in the end days for it, you know. And I think a lot of people, at least in the state of Vermont, think that way. And nobody's going to, you know, beat them up because they're transsexual or anything. And why should they be protected more than you and me and everybody else? Because believe it or not, 96% of the state is white. And I think people should be proud of being white. And I'm not prejudiced at all against anybody for what race, color, or creed they are. I could care less. As long as you treat me good and do unto others that you would want done unto you, and that's how I live my life. But the thing is, they're trying to diversify something that really doesn't need to be diversified.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, last night I think I made reference to the fact that I had a San Antonio police officer in my home who lives in my community and a very devout Christian man, very decent guy, has not been out of police academy very long. And then he's also a member of the United States Army. And we were chatting about some things last night that he was not aware of. And because he knows that I'm on this radio show, he asks me different things that pertain to political matters. And this whole business of hate crimes legislation came up. He had heard about it, did not know too much about it and what was behind it. So I was trying to enlighten him as to what I thought was the larger context behind this whole business. And to me, when you look at the hate crimes legislation, it's exactly what I think you're talking about here, Jeff, and that is that we are not concerned in this society as much to protect people from crime as we are to ensure that they have the cultural and moral and spiritual and physical philosophical take on things that the globalists want them to have. In other words, to me, I don't care who the perpetrators of crime are. I don't care who the victims are. If you have a person who is murdered, for example, I don't care if that person is a homosexual or a heterosexual. I don't care whether they're black or white or Asian or Indian or what they are. That is a crime that should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. And the notion, for example, that we should have a new set of laws that basically says that certain classes of perpetrators and certain classes of victims, you know, that when that matrix is there, that particular crime should have a higher priority than other crimes, I think is a dangerous concept. The other thing that's quite clearly there when you look at what Ted Pike has talked about with the National Prayer Network ongoingly, and that is that when it comes to people like you and me, Jeff, the hate crimes people want to make a traditional perspective on homosexuality a criminal offense. In other words, for you to think that or for you in the proper spirit to talk about that when it's appropriate should be a crime in their judgment. So if I'm standing in the pulpit at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in San Antonio down on the south side some future Sunday and we happen to be talking about Romans chapter 1, presumably the hate crimes people would say that I would be inciting hatred by simply telling people what the scriptures have to say on this subject. And that to me is a highly dangerous concept, not simply because it's a violation of my First Amendment rights and yours, but because essentially they want to take morality out of the hands of the family and out of the hands of the church and out of the hands of the traditional vehicles for the development and reinforcement of morality. All that's to be eliminated, and morality is to become whatever the global elite says that it is.
Well, they won't like this comment, but that's something I would die for. You know, I would die for my freedom of speech. You know, I would die for my freedom of religion. And that's what it comes down to, and people have to realize that these people that are perpetuating this on us aren't your friend. It's kind of hard to say this, but, you know, it seems like they're against the Christians. It seems like they're against the white Christians and even some black people that are Christian too. They just want to diversify everything, and they're getting away with it. And people are, and it all comes down to the passiveness and the apathetic people of this country. And it's a sad state of affairs. But I think they're winning. I really do. I mean, just looking at the legislature, if you look at the facts and you look at the results, these people are winning, and we are losing. I mean, sorry, but those are the facts right there.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. Now, of course, obviously, I believe as a Christian that we ultimately will win when Jesus Christ returns. But up to that point, I think you're exactly right, Jeff. The other side is winning. I mean, to me, and I came to this conclusion quite a number of years ago, that when you look at our culture and what's perpetrated every day and every evening on television, when you look at our educational system, when you look at the massive amount of public and private debt that we have accrued in this country, and then you look at these overextensions of military empire, all of that in tandem would seem to suggest to me that this is yet another version of the Roman Empire. And this side of eternity, I am not one of those who sees this as something that's going to be turned around. I think we are living in the final days of the American Republic.
And that's right. I have a lot of food. I have a lot of guns. And that's all you can do. You know, I just want to protect my food. I want to give my family, if something happens, I want to be able to survive the best I can as a person of Christ and as a human being on this earth. It's just, if the dollar collapses, I mean, there's a lot of factors that people have to put into consideration that could be reality someday, you know, and I hope it never comes to that. And I hope that, you know, I'm the most peaceful person you'll ever meet, but you know, I'm not afraid of doing what I truly believe in. And that's protecting my family and living a decent lifestyle and a Christian lifestyle. And
that's exactly right. And you know, I was thinking about this just a couple of nights ago. I don't have children. I'm married, have no children. My brother has four kids that are all grown now, and my parents are still living in the same community that I do in San Antonio, Texas. So I see them with some frequency, and we talk about all kinds of things that go back decades in our lives. And one of the things that has come up consistently in my own experience, and as I talk not only to my parents but to others of their generation who feel the way that we do, and it's this, that, you know, when I was growing up and I was being, you know, raised by my parents, it seems to me that their value system was being underscored and reinforced by the value system of the larger culture in regard to the fact that when it came to media, when it came to the educational establishment, when it came to the medical establishment, when it came to government, there was some assumption that there was going to be a lot of commonality in terms of the goals that the individual parents had. Today, it seems to me that if you have any of the philosophical or ideological or theological points of view that you and I do, Jeff, and you're trying to raise kids, that you're in absolute competition with all of the basic institutions of our country that have been taken over for the most part by some really bad people. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Father Christopher Hunter will be with me at 9 o'clock this morning. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, Documents, plural.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
This is Mark Antosh, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Father Christopher Hutter will join me at 9 o'clock this morning to talk about all kinds of things, especially a new DVD that he has out with Michael Hoffman. I'm really anxious to learn more about that one. I've got a number of things, by the way, that are piling up in my desk. I've got about five or six books going. Just started Michael Collins Piper's The New Jerusalem last night. And someone in San Antonio was kind enough to get me a copy of Matthias Chang's book, Future Fast Forward, The Zionist Anglo-American Empire Meltdown. So those are additional volumes that I'm trying to get through, along with Mark Lenz's book that he mailed me the other day, No Beauty and the Beast. So plenty of reading to do, and I've got all my periodicals here that keep coming in day by day, both the good ones as well as the corporate ones. And I'm trying to stay abreast of all of this so that I can help all of us keep on top of what's really significant that's going on in the news. Jeff, you still there? I guess Jeff has dropped off. I was going to say that it seems to me, hey, no problem. It seems to me that we're talking about something that involves a deliberate, targeted brand of how should I say this? Exploitation of our people It's been very, very effective. When you have what has been going on in our news media and in our educational circles and in our government for a very long period of time, you end up with a population that is totally malleable. Totally malleable. This is a population that cannot think. This is a population that, by and large, does not read. It does not attempt to connect the dots. And when you have thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people in that situation, quite clearly we're in a very dangerous circumstance, one where we are ripe for any sort of deception that comes around. The deception in France is apparently Nicolas Sarkozy. The deception going on in the United States, who's that going to culminate in the year 2008? Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, John Edwards, John McCain, Rudolph Giuliani. Who's it going to be? Let's keep our eye on all of this, because I think what we're going to discover is that by January of 2009, we're not going to be any better off than the French people are as a result of having elected Sarkozy. And I would suspect that between now and the beginning of 2009, we are quite likely to be in a much wider war in the Middle East. By the way, I'm looking at a very, very interesting list here. James Tucker, of course, is a very wonderful writer with the American Free Press. In the April 2nd edition, has a very lengthy piece on the Trilateral Commission and on their 2007 meeting in Brussels. The front page talks about it, and then you turn over to page 10, and all of this continues. But Jim Tucker has a list that's absolutely essential reading. It's a terrifying list, by the way, as terrifying as it is partial. It's called a veritable who's who of the global elite, which showed up at the 2007 trilateral meeting. You know, for those of you who, like me, for many, many years were capable of naming the starting lineups of the Giants and the Yankees and the Red Sox, or the starting lineups for the Green Bay Packers or the Dallas Cowboys, this lineup that Jim Tucker gives us in the American Free Press on April 2nd is a lineup that you won't forget, because these are the folks that run our lives or attempt to run them. We're talking here about the Trilateral Commission. We're talking about the Trilateral Commission's Executive Committee. We're talking about its so-called North American group. And then there is a listing here that Jim Tucker provides for us of those who are former members in public service, former members who are in public service, which in this listing includes Mr. Cheney and Mr. Wolfowitz. But last night, as I was going through this list in more detail, I found it interesting that there were not only the familiar names, the ones that would be known to anyone who even watches television news once in a while, but a series of names on this list representing organizations that I'm not familiar with, that I really want to be familiar with. Because I have a feeling that as we begin to do some further research into the names that Jim Tucker gives us here, we're going to see all kinds of connections that we wish we didn't see. They go a long way toward explaining the character of this, in regard to the fact that this is like a gigantic octopus that has its tentacles extended everywhere, and where those tentacles touch our lives in virtually every arena of our lives. So that whether you're trying to raise kids in a public school, or you're trying to figure out where to invest your money, or you're trying to figure out where to go to school, or you're thinking about changing careers, or whatever it happens to be, your life at some point or another is intersecting with some of the names that are on this list. And boy, I tell you, it's quite a list when you begin to see just how pervasive the influence of the Trilateral Commission is, and how pervasive the influence is of the Council on Foreign Relations. It is something that will continue to hopefully cause you to think about the extent to which you and I are being manipulated. And when we talk about being manipulated, of course, we get back to the whole business, once again, of Israel. Folks, we're in a situation where we are quite clearly in the process of getting ready to go to war, and a wider war in the Middle East on behalf of Israel. What's going to happen with this? We'll be back with that concept when Mark Ancos America returns live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Is the mark of the beast that far away, or is it here? Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold in the silver market but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time, whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
We're back. This is Mark Anthos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Father Christopher Hunter will join me at 9 o'clock this morning to talk about all kinds of things. Tomorrow, Eileen Fleming will be with me from 8 to 10 a.m. And then on Friday, Dan New will join me from 7 to 9 a.m. to talk about the Michael New case. And Mark Lynn will join us, as he always does, on Fridays from 9 to 10 to talk about all the important news issues of the day. Before I take another caller, which I intend to do here in just a second, I wanted to call all of your attention to the article by Ron Paul today at lewrockwell.com entitled Unconstitutional Legislation Threatens Freedoms. This deals with the hate crimes legislation and I think goes a long way toward explaining why Ron Paul is the only game in town as far as I'm concerned. If you're planning on voting in a presidential primary in this coming year, vote for Ron Paul within the Republican primary. He's the only candidate out there that I think is worth your time. That's an editorial remark, but I happen to believe that. This is an example of why I believe that. Ron Paul says that last week the House of Representatives acted with disdain for the Constitution and individual liberty by passing H.R. 1592, a bill creating new federal programs to combat so-called hate crimes. The legislation defines a hate crime as an act of violence committed against an individual because of the victim's race, religion, national origin, gender, sexual orientation, gender identity, or disability. Federal hate crime laws violate the 10th Amendment's limitations on federal power. Hate crime laws may also violate the First Amendment guaranteed freedom of speech and religion by criminalizing speech that federal bureaucrats define as hateful, quote unquote. There is no evidence that local governments are failing to apprehend and prosecute criminals motivated by prejudice in comparison to the apprehension and conviction rates of other crimes. Therefore, new hate crime laws will not significantly reduce crime. Instead of increasing the effectiveness of law enforcement, hate crime laws undermine equal justice under the law by requiring law enforcement and judicial system officers to give priority to investigating and prosecuting hate crimes. Of course, all decent people should condemn criminal acts motivated by prejudice. But why should an assault victim be treated by the legal system as a second-class citizen because his assailant was motivated by greed rather than hate? H.R. 1592, like all hate crime laws, imposes a longer sentence on a criminal motivated by hate than on someone who commits the same crime with a different motivation. Increasing sentences because of motivation goes beyond criminalizing acts. It makes it a crime to think certain thoughts. Criminalizing even the vilest hateful thoughts, as opposed to willful criminal acts, is inconsistent with a free society. H.R. 1592 could lead to federal censorship of religious or political speech on the grounds that the speech incites hate. Hate crimes laws have been used to silence free speech and even the free exercise of religion. For example, a Pennsylvania hate crime law has been used to prosecute peaceful religious demonstrators on the grounds that their public Bible readings could incite violence. One of H.R. 1592's supporters admitted that this legislation could allow the government to silence a preacher if one of the preacher's parishioners commits a hate crime. More evidence that hate crime laws lead to censorship came recently when one member of Congress suggested that the Federal Communications Commission ban hate speech from the airwaves. Read that as the Republic Broadcasting Network, folks. Can you imagine that? We, of course, do not hate people. We do not proclaim anything that could remotely be construed as hate. But in the context of what Ron Paul is talking about here today, you can certainly see that this member of Congress and his ideas regarding the Federal Communications Commission would be involved in trying to ban free speech from the airwaves if it happened to be free speech that was not approved by the Israeli lobby and by the corporate plutocracy. Getting back then to what Ron Paul says here in conclusion, hate crime laws not only violate the First Amendment, they also violate the Tenth Amendment. Under the United States Constitution, there are only three federal crimes: piracy, treason, and counterfeiting. All other criminal matters are left to the individual states. Any federal legislation dealing with criminal matters not related to these three issues usurps state authority over criminal law and takes a step toward turning the states into mere administrative units of the federal government. Because federal hate crime laws criminalize thoughts, they are incompatible with a free society. Fortunately, President Bush has pledged to veto H.R. 1592. Of course, I would vote to uphold the president's veto. That's Ron Paul today coming to us on LouRockwell.com with his piece entitled Unconstitutional Legislation Threatens Freedoms. He doesn't mention this in the article, by the way, but who is the driving force behind H.R. 1592? It's the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. It is the Southern Poverty Law Center. Folks, we are talking first and foremost about the Jewish lobby as being the primary force in driving H.R. 1592 and in trying to drive similar legislation to get through the United States Senate. Why does the Jewish lobby want this legislation passed? For a variety of reasons, not the least of which is that they want further legal codification of the Global Anti-Semitism Act, which President Bush mistakenly signed in 2004, that makes any criticism of the State of Israel a crime. This is what Ron Paul didn't say today, what we hope that maybe he will say in future articles and in future speeches, that there is a lurking force behind much of this that needs to be identified. And in this case, it's the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. Rita in Texas, you're on the line for Mark Dankoff. Go ahead, Rita.
Good morning, Mark.
Hi.
Ask a question. Father Christopher Hunter, is he a is he supposed to have been ordained by Marcel Lefebvre of the Society
I don't know
of St. Pius X?
I don't know if he was ordained by Lefebvre or not. I flat don't know. We can find out this morning, certainly, when he comes on.
Well, it's very, very important because I wanted to bring to the attention of you and your leaders that if this man is a part of the Society of St. Pius X, that organization is not an organization that is connected with the true Roman Catholic Church. I looked up on the internet to find out about this Father Christopher Hunter, and Lefebvre, he's referred to as Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre, he was ordained and consecrated by a Freemason, Leonhardt. And the Catholic Church teaches that if one is a Freemason, one is automatically excommunicated from the Catholic Church. So Leonhardt, at the time that Marcel Lefebvre was ordained and or consecrated a priest and a bishop, he was not a member of the Catholic Church. Furthermore, Archbishop Lefebvre, I'm going to say Marcel Lefebvre, he was also a member of the Judeo-Freemasonic organization called the Priory of Zion, which would have made him automatically excommunicated from the Catholic Church because the Catholic Church for centuries has pronounced a sentence of ipso facto automatic excommunication from the Catholic Church if they become a member of any secret society, including the Judeo-Freemasonic organization.
And this organization is called the Priory of Zion?
Priory of Zion, Z-I-O-N.
Okay.
Also, the orders of the Society of St. Pius X are invalid, according to the teachings of the Catholic Church. The reason for that is because the Catholic Church teaches in order to have a valid sacrament, you must have present form, matter, and intent. It is impossible for an enemy of the Church, a Freemason, to have the intention of the Catholic Church to do what the Catholic Church wants or intends to do. So therefore, any sacraments, and I say that in parentheses, that are conferred by an by a person who is an enemy of the Church, there is no valid sacrament. So basically, the Society of St. Pius X, although it might present itself as being traditional Catholic, it is in fact not a part of the true Catholic Church. It's kind of like having a clear glass of water with a little bit of poison in it. It is still a deadly drink. Another thing, too, about the Society of St. Pius X is they falsely teach that they celebrate the traditional Catholic Mass, and they refer to it as the Tridentine Mass. The Tridentine Mass is actually the traditional Mass that is celebrated by true valid Catholic priests pursuant to the bull Quo Primum by St. Pius V. St. Pius V, in his bull, which can be read on the Internet, stated that whosoever shall in any way add or detract from this missal, let him know that he has incurred the wrath of Almighty God, and St. Peter, St. Paul, let him be anathema. In other words, they're damned. They're excommunicated. The Society of St. Pius X does not recite the Mass of the traditional Mass, the Tridentine Mass St. Pius V. They recite the Mass of John the 23rd, who was an antipope. John the 23rd was a Freemason. And what they did is they add the name of St. Joseph to the canon of the Mass. So because they've added and altered the missal, that is an automatic excommunication. The other thing, too, is that John the 23rd was a Freemason. He was a Rosicrucian. He was not a true pope. There is another bull by Pope Paul IV that is called Cum Ex Apostolatus Officio. And in that particular bull, Pope Paul IV had stated that if you have an individual who is a heretic, that even if he should be elected by by the unanimous election of the cardinals, that such an election would be null and void. It is impossible for a heretic or non-Catholic to be pope. In order to be pope, you have to be a male and you have to be Catholic. And so I wanted to call in about this Society of St. Pius X because they're out here in the United States trying to suck people, the traditional Catholics that are looking for traditional mass, to attend their services. The other thing, too, about the Society of St. Pius X is they recognized, they not only had recognized John Paul II as a legitimate pope, but also Benedict XVI. And in order to be Catholic, you have to submit to the authority of the true pope. Since they recognized Benedict XVI and had recognized John Paul II as a true pope, they do not submit to his authority. If they did, they would be celebrating the Novus Ordo Mass, which is a monstrosity. They would be celebrating the Novus Ordo Mass, which basically was implemented by Paul VI, who was another anti-pope. Paul VI was a former Secretary of State to Pius XII, had betrayed the faithful Catholic bishops and priests in Russia to the KGB, wherein they were picked up and persecuted. The Catholic Church has been infiltrated by the Jews in the clergy. They basically are in control of the Vatican. And if this man says that he has been ordained by Lefebvre or is associated with the Society of St. Pius X, that is not a part of the Catholic Church. Furthermore, Marcel Lefebvre was excommunicated by their pope that they recognize for having ordained several bishops without the authority of their pope. So they're according even to the Catholic Church teachings, if they recognize their own, you know, those men as popes, they are automatically would be considered schismatic and therefore still excommunicated from even the very church that they claim that they recognize as a pope, yet will not and refuse to submit to his authority. So I just wanted to present this material to your listeners to give warning that if this man proposes to represent the viewpoint of true Catholics, he is not.
What, in terms of the Society of St. Pius X, Rita, just so that I understand this, mm-hmm. are you saying that in terms of these so-called anti-popes that many traditional Catholics, I guess from, say, John the 23rd on up through Benedict the 16th, that many traditional Catholics do not recognize these popes in that time frame, including the current one, that the Society of St. Pius X, in essence, does recognize these popes?
The Society of St. Pius X does recognize those popes, and I'm familiar with that, with the Society. The problem with the Society is that they're lying. They're lying in saying that these priests and these clergies are celebrating the true Catholic Mass. They are not. They are, as a matter of fact, Father John Martinez, who you had as a former speaker, has a taped interview with a Father Zigran, who allegedly is the one who is associated with the Society of St. Pius X at San Antonio, Texas. And in there, Father Martinez came out quite clearly with the interview with Father Zigran that with the recitation of St. Joseph in the canon of the Mass, and that's after the Te Igitur in the Catholic Mass, that Mass is not the true Catholic Mass. It's the Mass of John the 23rd. John the 23rd was not a true pope. He did not have authority, nor does he have authority to alter the true Catholic Mass. These people there's a lie there. The true Catholic Church does not teach that there's baptism of desire. The clergy there, the Society of St. Pius X, teach that there's three baptisms, baptism of water, baptism of blood, and baptism of desire. This is contrary to Holy Scripture because Paul himself asserted that there's only one faith, one Lord, and one baptism. And there's many true Catholics, knowing the facts concerning the Society of St. Pius X, recognize it more as part of that of the Vatican II revolution, and really consider it part of Judeo-Freemasonry in order to destroy the true Catholic Church and its teachings. They are not Catholic. They are another would be the Society Society of St. Pius V. There's a bishop, quote unquote Bishop Kelly, that's involved in that one. And so I just wanted to warn you about this. You know, I don't know what the man is going to say, but I can share with you that I myself am an extensive student of the Roman Catholic Church and was able to recognize this masquerade that is going on with the Society of St. Pius X.
Rita, thank you very much. When we come back, we'll take another caller. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Blood and the streets is up to
Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Father Christopher Hunter will join me at 9 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time, or shortly thereafter, to talk about those things that are close to his heart. I'm very interested to learn more about this DVD that he has produced with Michael Hoffman, and I'd like to get Michael Hoffman on this show sometime to talk about his own work, which I read with great regularity. Mike Hoffman has a lot of really good commentary on a variety of subjects, and if you're not already an online subscriber to that, you should be, because it really is food for thought whenever Michael comes out with these things to examine them very, very closely. And we will be doing that, hopefully, with Father Hunter this morning, and maybe later downstream with Michael Hoffman. Eileen Fleming is going to be on the show tomorrow from 8 to 10 in the morning. And then Friday morning, Dan New is going to be on from 7 to 9 a.m. to talk about Michael New's case, his appeal that was denied by the U.S. Supreme Court, and what it means for you and for me. And then, of course, in the last hour of Friday's show, Mark Glenn will be on with me to discuss the latest things going on with the American Free Press and all of the news and items of the day that Mark thinks are most important to us as we review the week and also try to predict what's going to happen in the next week or two or three or month or two or three. We have a caller, Bob in D.C. Go ahead, Bob.
Hello, Mark.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Reverend. I didn't hear everything. I was quite busy, and if you hear any pounding in the background, they're rebricking my building. So
okay.
Rita was just on, and I think I just caught the tail end. I just wanted to make you and your listeners aware, you and the listeners aware, that there's a site, a website called Most Holy Family Monastery. And it's just like it sounds, no dashes or anything. And if you do a Google, you can Google Brothers Michael and Peter Diamond, D-I-M-O-N-D. And they have extensive, they have probably, I believe they are the world benchmark for the Society of St. Pius X, and more importantly, the heresies going back to Pope John the 23rd. They just have it all, it seems.
I've seen the site, and it's an excellent site. As a matter of fact, they mailed me not too awful long ago, gratis, by the way, an incredible box of books and DVDs and materials that I plan on working my way through just to see what's there, including something that has been written by them in regard to this whole issue of Freemasonry in the Roman Catholic Church. Yeah, I have found that website to be absolutely amazing in terms of all of the information that's there, particularly as one who does not come out of a Roman Catholic background, to find the full extent to which traditional Catholics tell me that they have these difficulties with these popes from John the 23rd on up through Benedict the 16th, and why, to open my eyes to a lot of really important issues, not only within Catholicism, but in terms of the analysis of Catholicism that the rest of us need to have in regard to what's going on there. I first put me onto this with the Judas Goats and with what happened in Vatican II with Malachi Martin. That's kind of me on a journey of search since then. But the Most Holy Family Monastery site is certainly a good one. And is that .com or .org, Bob?
.com.
.com.
Yes.
Hey, best to you up there in Washington, D.C., my friend.
Excuse me?
Best to you up there
thank
Washington,
you, sir.
D.C.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Have a good day.
Yes. We'll be back.
It's true.